reaching across the country for the biggest sports news this weekend. From Atlanta to Seattle, from Boston to LA, this is Big Sports Radio.
And welcome in once again. Glad you're here with us. Larry Smith, Mike Hegley, Brad Sturdy. We are here, Big Sports Radio. We have got so much going on. The great Danny Sheridan joining us. Also, Cole Thompson from SEC Filtered, all talking college football now that the season is done. Rob Blackman from Purdue talking about the Boilers. Hey, tough loss at home against the Buckeyes. They've got Michigan coming up. We'll talk about that. Also, college basketball, David Cobb is here from CBS Sports. Talking about some of these top programs here. You know, we're going to talk about Duke here in a moment, but we'll get his thoughts as well about Duke and the new look ACC. How's that working for you? Maybe you should try to go join the SEC or somebody. We'll talk Illini right now in terms of what they did the other day in Michigan State, where they are right now in the nation's hierarchy. A lot going on. Matt Brown also joining us as well, one of our favorite guests from ExtraPointsMB.com. We'll talk a little Title IX. But fellas, let's talk first off college football. Look, hail to the victors. Sorry. Ohio State getting the big win. What a thriller over Notre Dame to get their seventh national title.
Well, I'll tell you what. We saw this all year. Ohio State was the most talented team in college football. They had the, you know, obviously loss on the road at Oregon early was not a bad loss at all. Oregon was awfully good. But the inexplicable loss to Michigan was stunning. But since that time, they rallied the troops, and they were dominant in this college football playoff. When you look at the results of these games, you know, even though the Notre Dame game got competitive at the end, and when they came back, they dominated these teams early in the first half, except for Texas. But, I mean, the other three games were just against really good competition. You know, Oregon and Tennessee are good, and they just dominated. And so it was really impressive what they did. Kudos to Ryan Day. He can now put it in all of our faces when we questioned his coaching. Although I will say, I think he turned a 25 point win into an 11 point win, but hey, that's just me.
You know, the ironic thing, and this will probably really anger Wolverine fans, but I don't know if that fire gets lit so intensely or burns so bright during the CFP without losing to the Wolverines. So Michigan Wolverines, thanks for setting Ohio State's table for a national championship run that worked really well.
Oh, think about this. Had they beat Michigan, they would have been in the Big Ten title game, right? So they're in the Big Ten title game. They pounded Oregon. So let's say they beat Oregon. Now they're the one seed overall heading into that college football playoff. All the matchups are completely different. They're feeling good about themselves. Do they have the hunger to win those three games? I don't know. That's, every team got to buy one.
Yeah, that's exactly my thought. And I thought Ryan Day, you know, he made it a little bit close, but I almost wonder if he was trying to ease it up a little bit and then maybe lost control. Just like that woman lost control of the golf cart as she was driving him in the bowels of the stadium.
Was that great?
I mean, that thing, she sped up and hit that wall, and Ryan Day looked like a crash test dummy. I thought
awesome.
It was interesting because I pick on Ryan a lot. But I will tell you one thing. He responded so well because can you imagine what Nick Saban would have done to that poor woman who was driving?
Not have been good.
Well, yeah, Ohio State, no question. And you think about all four teams that got byes losing their first game. Maybe Ohio State falls into that, and we're talking about somebody else, the champion. You're exactly right. Goes back to, again, play the games. You got to play the games. This is what we're here for. This beats a one-game winner-take-all championship tilt any day. Love the 12 team. I think, again, we could say that it's you know, that Ohio State proved it's better to have more than four teams. So we move on to 2025. We move on to hoops. We'll talk more college football playoffs here a bit later, again, with Danny and with Cole. The Duke Blue Devils right now, they're the cream of the crop in the ACC, and that's never a bad thing. Except this year, the ACC offers you nothing. Louisville's making a run. They're finally in the rankings, but North Carolina's disappeared. Probably as of today, they wouldn't make the tournament. Wake Forest is gone. At the moment, they may be a three-bid league going into the NCAA tournament in March at this point.
Yeah, the weird part about it is they don't have a lot of quality wins. You know, even Duke. I mean, you know, Duke's already lost to Kentucky and Kansas. They do have the win over Auburn, which is kind of their signature win. And a win over Louisville is a good win, obviously. But I mean, I really think that they're not going to have these teams if they don't beat Duke in the ACC. Who are they beating? That's a quality win. I mean, so as you kind of the way this works out, they don't have a lot of the opportunities. You know, Wake Forest, Duke on Saturday in Winston-Salem. If they lose, that's it. That's their chance to really get that big win. Because even if you win, you know, and you're 24 and stuff, I mean, who have you? If you haven't beaten anybody, it's hard to say you're going to get a good seed in the NCAA or even get in.
Yeah.
So you look at what happened last year with Florida State not making it into the smaller CFP. You look at the fight that they had to get a couple teams into the CFP this year, and now you see this. There's a reason why there's a few schools in the ACC that are at least keeping a very good eye peeled for the SEC and Big Ten membership. And anybody in the ACC who doesn't understand that, all you need to do is look at this situation for getting in and cashing big checks.
Yeah, because now it's one thing to not be a part of the mix in football. You're not part of the mix in basketball. I mean, you've got one shot. And like I said, unless North Carolina comes through, but to your point, who are you beating? To get there, you're going to have to beat Duke to get there because you have nothing else on your resume right now. They are just not a very good team at all. But you're exactly right. It's interesting to see this. Duke, they do face Illinois coming up in New York on February 22nd next month in that made-for-TV game at Madison Square Garden. When that game was put on the table, I'm sure that the pundits said, oh, great, Illinois gets a chance, go up against Duke. It may be the other way right now. Duke may need that one over Illinois to solidify getting a one or two two seed in the tournament.
Yeah, I think that, you know, Duke's got a game at Clemson, you know, that's going to be obviously a tough one at North Carolina just because maybe the rivalry, but North Carolina's on the struggle bus. But I don't know. You're going to have to get some more quality wins. I think Duke will be okay if they win all their games. But there's also some, you know, you have a bad day. Every loss is also kind of a bad loss. So, you know, if you're losing to Syracuse, didn't used to be, oh, we lost Syracuse. Well, that's no big deal. Well, now it's a bad loss. You lose to Virginia when Tony Bennett was there. Oh, well, it's no big deal. Well, now it's a bad loss. You know, so it's really it's intriguing the way the ACC has fallen. And Duke can maybe be the beneficiary when record-wise, but they're 0-2 in neutral site games. Guess where they play the NCAA tournament?
Well, and Syracuse is an interesting case study, and don't let your aging coach who's a legend pick his year of retirement, because Boeheim really left that program with a very bare cupboard, and it's going to take time to turn that around. And so across the nation, you've got some older coaches too, that if I was an AD, I'd be trying to dictate and help them find a time to retire that works for the school.
Yeah, it's just certainly a new era right now in college basketball. Speaking of, the SEC, as strong as anybody right now, they've been outstanding. Great matchup Saturday night as Tennessee goes into Auburn, number 6 Volunteers, top-ranked Auburn Tigers. They managed to get it done since Jani Broome has gone out with an ankle injury. That's been big for them. Hoping to get him back in time for the tournament. Bruce Pearl's former team against Bruce Pearl's current team. This is a great matchup Saturday night.
Yeah, it'll be fun. These are two teams that are going to get after you, really put a lot of pressure on you defensively. I mean, Rick Barnes probably underrated as a defensive coach. Every year, Tennessee's up at the top. And I think Bruce Pearl does a fantastic job as well on that side of the ball. And I think it's going to come down to, you know, which team can make some shots, because it is not easy to make shots. Auburn's really good offensively, but you know, it's really hard to score against these teams. And so Auburn's very good offensively, but that they don't have kind of, you know, the Broome to kind of be their, I guess, their stabilizing force inside, shooting 61% from two and just dominating offensive glass. They don't have that. So now they got to find a way against a Tennessee team that is, you know, great defensively to score enough. And so it should be a blast.
Yeah, it should be a possibility of one of those 52 to 53, you know, type of scores. God help them if they get into the 40s or the 30s, like that Penn State Illinois game of a while back, but I do think that defense, you know, those two coaches are amazing at their ability to coach defense. And if you enjoy a good defensive game, that would be a great one to tune into.
Yeah, I agree. Love Rick Barnes, like Brad said. And listen, I know people don't like Bruce Pearl, but you got to give him his flowers as far as a coach. He's a guy who's won everywhere he's gone. Southern Indiana in Division II, won a national title. He put Wisconsin-Milwaukee on the map for a period, made Tennessee basketball relevant. He made Auburn basketball relevant. Folks, before he got there, let's remember. I remember being at a game about a decade ago, Illinois playing Auburn down at in Atlanta at the then Phillips Arena. And Auburn played a football game the night before next door in the Georgia Dome, right? Auburn took on Missouri for the SEC championship game. And yet Illinois fans outnumbered Auburn fans 10-1 in that arena that day. I mean, that's how low Auburn basketball is. So, you know, Bruce Pearl, his pass is his pass and it's real. But this guy can coach. There's no question. No question about it. All right. We will leave it there for the moment. Much more basketball coming up. But up next, we will talk with our friend Danny Sheridan, the veteran college football analyst. He predicted back in August Alabama would not get in the playoff. He was right. We'll see what else he's right about. His thoughts about the season that just ended. And what's next in college football? It's all ahead. Big show coming to you here on Big Sports Radio.
Everything is expensive right now. Gas, food, you name it. You're spending more, you're making the same or less money. So, what do? You rack up credit card debt. That's what you do. It's not your fault. It's the economy. And guess what? If you rack up too much credit card debt like some of us, you can't pay your bills. Then the credit card companies, as nice as they are, start hounding you for money. Then you start your downward spiral. A smart thing for you to do is to call the Zero Debt. They can help you consolidate all your credit card bills into one affordable payment. Millions of people have done it. It works to make you debt-free. Make this free call right now. It costs you nothing to learn more.
800-507-7293. 800-507-7293. 800-507-7293. That's 800-507-7293.
How is your car payment treating you? What if I told you could make a free phone call right now and reduce your car payment by as much as $83 a month? Look at your car payment closely. You could be paying as high as 20% interest. Rate Genius can help you reduce your car payments by reducing your interest rate to as low as 2.48% APR. We can refinance most existing car loans or leased cars, new or used, and save you money every month. Put more money back in your pocket. The call is free to find out how low we can lower your car payment. 5 minutes of your time right now could save you hundreds of dollars a year. Call Rate Genius now.
800-425-1161. 800-425-1161. 800-425-1161. That's 800-425-1161.
Not all applicants qualify for a loan or rate savings. Actual offer terms, including APR, are determined at the time of your application based on creditworthiness, value of the vehicle, loan term, and other factors.
All right, back here. Glad you're with us here, Big Sports Radio. By the way, hail to congratulations again, the Buckeyes, Ohio State getting the win. I want to bring in our man, veteran college football analyst Danny Sheridan, who we've just had the pleasure of knowing for Danny. We don't date ourselves, but decades. The season's over. Ohio State gets the win. Your thoughts on the championship and then this very unusual, very unique college football season.
Well, first of all, I thought it was certainly overall it was successful, the college football playoffs. I like the atmosphere for the home game, the first game. It generated, besides great national interest, great TV ratings. But the problem I have with it, and I'm speaking for you and Tony and others, is that the system really needs tweaking. Anytime you got a situation where we talked about this, I think, well, we did before the college football playoffs. Penn State gets an easy road. Why? They get rewarded because they lost their conference championship. Whereas Oregon, who, as you know, won their conference championship, they got a major screw job, and their path was brutal, was the most brutal. Here they are, the number one team in the country, undefeated, and they got a brutal path. That was wrong, and nothing's perfect, but that they really need to change that. I don't know what the heck they need to do. One thought is, you know, hey, award conference champions. All right, I guess I could see that, but I still seed all 12 after, and that would probably cause more controversy, but after the conference championships. But there's no way in hell I would allow a number one team like Oregon to have to go through Ohio State and, you know, sit at home, and that's their reward. And whereas, you know, teams like Ohio State and their seeding in Tennessee, I don't have a problem with that. Because that was based on the regular season, and they didn't make their conference game. But anyway, it's a great position to be in. They're going to make a gazillion dollars, the college football playoffs, and they're definitely going to tweak it. I don't think they can tweak it this year, Larry. I think that I read where they got to wait till 26. I don't know why in the hell they can't tweak it. They can do whatever the hell they want to do, but whatever.
Yeah, I guess that's the agreement they had, was that for these 2 years, you know, this is how they got everyone to buy in. But I'm with you. To me, conference champions, you're automatically in, but you're seated wherever you're seated, right? And right. To your point, Ohio State was never an 8 seed. I mean, we all knew that. They were never an 8. They're at worst a 5, I guess. I mean, 3. I mean, that never should have happened. But to your point, that's the one change I would make in my proposal that I'll throw out there to, you know, throwing out to the wind, is instead of forcing those teams to have a bye, allow them to have their guaranteed at least to host a home game. If you're a conference champion, you at least get a chance to, if you don't get a bye, you'll be a host, you know, one of the top 8 seeds for round one. And that way we get a chance to see SMU at Boise State, or we get a chance to see, Tennessee or Penn State going to Arizona State, whatever the case is. And that way there's still some benefit from a conference championship.
No, I like that. And again, I go, you know, it's probably wrong. I mean, I say it's probably wrong to say that Boise is not as good as Oregon, but hell, everybody knows they're not as, even though they almost beat them early in the year, or they're not as good as Ohio State, et cetera, et cetera. Well, if you're not as good, there's no way in hell you should be like a 3 or 4 seed. At least I don't think so. And when you say, and you're correct when you say, you know, they probably can't change it this year, my comment would be, hell, they can do whatever they want to do. Who's gonna stop them? The NCAA? But anyway, it'll be interesting. But hey, I will say this. I speak for you and Tony and college football fans. I'm so glad we have a 12-team playoff. And I wouldn't have a problem. And I think they will if they go to 14 or 16. They'll do it for the money. I would do it for the fans. That way you could say everybody's included, like pretty much everybody. I think obviously you could make a case for Ole Miss, South Carolina, even though they didn't play in Alabama, they didn't play well in their bowl games. I attribute that to is not caring. What if we win our bowl game? Big deal. Mississippi won, but hell, they played Duke. So I think I'm all for expanding it, and I hope they do. And I think 16 is a good number, minimum 14.
Yeah, I would really hate for them. It looks like, and looking ahead, as they've got the date set through the rest of the decade, and it looks like the game is getting later and later on the calendar. And I think that's one problem. May have been some fatigue with the ratings being down Monday night, even though you had two, you know, franchise programs, if you will, in Ohio State and Notre Dame. I would rather them see them start the season earlier, start the playoffs earlier, and try to get all these things in if you can by the time the spring semester starts. But it looks like for the next few years, after next year, this game could move to the last week of January, kind of like in the off week before the Super Bowl, right? That's great for the TV calendar, but it's not great for the game and for the students, in my opinion.
You're right. I agree 100%. But this, as you and I both know, there's one thing that rules college football, and that's the dollar bill, whether they admit it or not. And I'm with you. You could start the season not the second week, you could move up summer practice, but you could certainly start the season in early August. I think now it starts, they call it week zero, last weekend in August. Wouldn't hurt to move it up a week or two. It's not going to affect anything. I guess you could argue, well, the students aren't in session, but so what? I mean, can't have everything.
Right, exactly.
And by the way, generally speaking, the first couple of games, from memory, are against cream puffs, so it's not like the students are going to miss Ball State or whatever.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Or St. Mary's.
Look ahead now to 2025. I mean, I don't get caught up in the way too early rankings, because they are way too early. I mean, it just is what it is. You don't know who's going to go pro, who's transferring, etc. But there's some. What coaches do you feel like maybe have some issues right now in terms of guys who really need to win or need to try to find a way into that playoff, or their jobs may be in jeopardy. I mean, are there some guys there right now that are really kind of looking over their back?
Yeah, well, Tony mentioned some to me yesterday. Mike Norvell of Florida State, Kelly of LSU, and Riley of Southern Cal. I would say, you could say, oh, they're in trouble, they'll catch a lot of heat, but the buyout for Riley, Lincoln Riley, $88 million.
Wow.
The buyout for Kelly, I think, is only, oh, $65 million or $61 million. That's close enough. And Norvell, his buyout is somewhere in that range to the $70 million range. So not every school is Texas A&M. So
right.
And answer your question. Yeah, those three, I guess you could say, are in trouble. I'm thinking Hugh Freeze, who I think is a great coach, and DeBoer, the jury's still out on him coaching in the SEC. But, you know, when they play Alabama and Auburn play next year, that could be a really big game, because the loser, they're going to call for his head. And if DeBoer doesn't have if he has a similar season, which is very possible, and Hugh Freeze doesn't improve, that Alabama-Auburn game is going to be a shocker as far as a big movement to get rid of one of the coaches. I don't think they can afford to do it. I would never get rid of Hugh Freeze. But anyway, that's the way I see it. I don't see any of those big guys, whether they deserve it or not, getting fired, because in 2022, I don't know what the hell was in the water, but all of them signed 10-year, 100 million plus contracts. So that makes it really tough. And you asked me about the top teams for next year. It's really the same old story. It's, of course, Ohio State. They'll be ranked one. Maybe Texas will be ranked one. And then you'd have Oregon, Georgia. And let me stop right there. Those four teams are going to have to break in new quarterbacks. Yeah, Arch Manning played for Texas, but he still hadn't started. And Oregon, I think a quarterback is Dante Moore. Ohio State's got Sayan, I guess you pronounce it Sayan, Julian Sayan. They swiped him from Alabama. Saban signed him. He's a top prospect, quarterback prospect last year. So you have the top four teams, Ohio State, Texas, Oregon, and Georgia, have new quarterbacks. Now, I know Gunnar Stockton's at Georgia, but still he hadn't been, he quarterbacked one game, the Notre Dame game, and came in for an injury. Then after that, Penn State would be your fifth-ranked team. They have a great returning team and a very good quarterback. Those are really your five teams. If you and Tony, I'm sure there might be one I may have left out, and there's always some surprise, but those on paper are the best five teams in the country with good quarterbacks.
Yeah. It seems like we're already just 1 year into this, but it already feels like it's sizing up to be, again, a Big Ten and SEC at the top, everyone else kind of trailing behind. What is the ACC, what can they do to become more relevant in this new world of college football, in your opinion?
I would start by going to church regularly on Sunday. It's not that they're not relevant, but I mean, Miami's relevant because of their paycheck. So Miami's going to have a good team. Clemson, Dabo will always have a good team. A great team? I don't think so, because of NIL. I don't think I missed anyone. I may have missed Florida State. If they get their NIL cranking like they did a few years ago, they'll be improved. But overall, you can't compare the Big Ten champions 2 years in a row. I think the SEC was champion, 13 out of the last 17 or 18 years in a row.
Oh, yeah.
And those two, Larry, like you said, they're head and shoulders above everybody from top to bottom, especially the SEC from top to bottom.
Yeah, there's no question at all. This is just where we're headed. Give us a couple of surprise teams you're watching for 2025. We know all the teams you mentioned, Georgia, they're going to be there. Alabama, those teams, are going to be in the mix. But some teams maybe on the up. Is there an SMU or Indiana, Illinois, the Big Ten? Bieleman had a 10-win season. South Carolina had a great season, losing to Illinois, but still everyone's high on them coming back with their quarterback and only a sophomore. A couple of teams you think that may make a run at making that 12-team playoff.
My crystal ball is not that good and that far advanced, but you make a good point. South Carolina, I was not expecting, I don't think anyone was, their success this year. They're certainly a top 15 team on paper. Tennessee's another one that's a top 15 team. I don't guess any surprise. And I guess the one I'm wondering about is Lane Kiffin, Ole Miss. He's reloaded again. He's the king of the transfer portal. They'll have a very good team. His quarterback is supposed to be another good quarterback. So I guess I'm looking at the SEC. The Big Ten, nah, it's just Ohio State, Oregon, Penn State, and I may have left out one. And quite frankly, it's the same with the SEC at the top. Right now, you could make a good argument that at the top, the Big Ten is stronger than the SEC. Overall, it's the SEC. I'm not ducking your question. I just don't. I can't even imagine a Big Ten team. You know, like Indiana came out of the woodworks. Well, Indiana's got a really good team. He did a great job. But you and I both know what would happen if they played the Ohio States. Well, they did. And if they played even Alabama, they just couldn't. If they played in the SEC, they'd lose probably, oh, I don't know, four games, maybe five. If they played in the Big Ten, by playing the Big Ten, I mean a Big Ten schedule with all the other teams, they'd lose maybe three. But no surprise, Larry. Unless you know something I don't know, you or Tony.
And
the surprise will not be in the same breath as the Ohio States, the Oregons, Georgias, Texas, and so on.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Danny, we're out of time. Always appreciate your time. Happy New Year to you once again, and can't wait to talk to you soon.
Happy, healthy New Year, you and Tony. Be well. Thank you.
All right. Thanks so much, Danny Sheridan. We should mention, by the way, we do go way back to our days at CNN Sports, myself, Danny, and producer Tony. And it's always good to, a little bit of a reunion when we get a chance to get Danny here on the show. Once again, Danny Sheridan, he's a veteran college football analyst. Love talking to him as we do.
And now, one quick interruption. If we could just get back half our youth from those days.
There you go. There you go. We've all, yeah, would love that. Let's work on that magic potion between now and the next time we talk.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Thanks, Danny. Take care. We've got much more to come. Keep it here.
Are you tired of your website making your business look bad? Is your current web developer dropping the ball? Let's face it, if your website isn't making you money, it's broken. Let Neon Rain create a website that turns your visitors into customers. Neon Rain has worked with hundreds of businesses across North America, building custom websites and applications with modern designs that are easy to update and work well on mobile devices. They can do it for you too. What sets Neon Rain apart? They actually deliver on their promises. Call today for a free consultation, 303-957-3092. That's Neon Rain at 303-957-3092. Or visit them at neonrain.com.
How would you like to get high-speed internet for your home for less than $2 a day? That's right, for about $50 a month, you'll get lightning-fast internet. Are you paying less than $50 a month right now for your internet? Then call Whole Home Connect right now for blazing fast internet at $50 a month with no price increases, no hidden fees, no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees. It's a great deal. And guess what? You can try it for 15 days. If you don't like it, you get your money back, but you're gonna love it, and you're gonna love the price. Internet for your home for $50 a month. That's less than $2 a day, plus no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees, and our 15-day guarantee. Call now. 800-215-0341. 800-215-0341. 800-215-0341. That's 800-215-0341.
You're listening to the Big Sports Radio Network with Larry Smith, Mike Kegley, and Brad Sturdy.
Welcome back here to the show. Lots of things to talk about. Obviously, college football still in our minds, still fresh off the game Monday night, Ohio State beating Notre Dame. He's fresh off a flight, finally getting home after a week of travel. Matt Brown of ExtraPointsNB.com. Matt, good to talk to you. Welcome. Happy New Year. And are you recovered yet from the week in Atlanta?
Yeah, I think after one day of mostly hibernation, after a couple of Celsius's, I've been restored. You know, I had some vegetables finally. You know, rebalancing everything here. I'm not 26 anymore. But it was definitely absolutely worth the trip for on all levels, for reporting, for my own personal edification. But I'm glad to be home.
Yeah, yeah. What do you think? Is it your first time in Mercedes-Benz Stadium? What do you think of the dome down there?
It was, and you know, I'll tell you, I was a little nervous coming into this game because, as I'm sure both of you saw, the get-in ticket prices for this leading up to the game were north of $3,000, you know, wow. $2,500, $2,700, $3,000. The independent ticket resellers were saying, yeah, this is the most expensive championship game in over a decade. And when you marry that with an NFL stadium, I think there's a legitimate risk that it's going to feel like a sterile corporate environment because not a lot of people under 30 are going to be able to afford to get in. That wasn't my experience. And I don't know if it's partly because Mercedes-Benz feels like a spaceship. So everything in there just kind of feels bigger, even though it's smaller than most large college stadiums. I don't know if it's because both the Ohio State and Notre Dame fan bases are a little bit crazy and are kind of teetering on the edge of needing therapy heading into this game. So there was just so much anxiety in the building that you still had an electric atmosphere. But it felt like a very, very big college football game to me. And I hope that as this 12-team playoff era continues, that these games don't become so expensive that they become like the Super Bowl, which I think is really more of a corporate event than it is a football fan event.
Yeah, that's my one concern. But to your point, the one thing that like you said, first, very rabid fan bases that are starved for national title with great histories. But you're right. The only NFL team that really travels like that would be the Pittsburgh Steelers. They always give it a collegiate feel where they're in the Super Bowl. But unfortunately, I think that I don't see the ticket prices coming down, sadly. But to your point, at least they're being taken by people who are alums. And there are enough there to give it kind of a rah-rah feel, which I felt, you know, they did a good job on watching it on air. It felt like a collegiate championship game. And it's a stadium that I was just there a month ago. That's just it's just gorgeous. It's a great place. No bad seats in the house anywhere at all.
No. And even you guys would appreciate this, right? I don't know about everybody else, but like the press box isn't over the 50-yard line.
Right.
As the Falcons folks have realized, like, you can make a lot of money selling those stuff to other people. So it's kind of at a 45-degree angle over an end zone. There's still good seats. Yeah. There's good seats everywhere. And for as difficult to get to and as expensive as it is, I mean, it's also $2 hot dogs and self-service cocktail machines. They take a selfie of your face and pour the drink for you. There's some positive things there too, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's talk about, obviously the game was outstanding, but it's the business off the field right now that we're dealing with. It's 2025, so many changes coming up. And now these new Title IX rules are coming in saying that, listen, this has to apply not only to equal sports for men and women, but also when it comes to these payouts. You did some reporting on this on your site, extrapointsmb.com. Kind of walk us through quickly kind of what they're talking about here in terms of, are you going to have to give equal money then to women's sports as opposed to in conjunction with the revenue sports of football and basketball?
Yeah, we'll zoom out here for a second. What I could talk about here is over the last year, I've interviewed a lot of professional litigators and academics, folks that have studied how Title IX has been administered and adjudicated over the last decade. And the general consensus from those people that I spoke to was that the House revenue share payments and payments that would go directly from the school to athletes would be considered, based on previous rulings, would fall under the jurisdiction of Title IX. Just like there is an obligation for university athletic departments to promote men and women's sports equally. We just got not a ruling, but clarity from the Department of Education last week, confirming this. The problem, of course, is that was the Biden administration, and they're not in charge anymore. And we're going to have a new Secretary of Education likely confirmed in the coming days. You're going to have a completely new staff of civil servants and lawyers for the Office of Civil Rights within the DOJ, within the DOE, who may see things very, very differently. And that, if you're a school administrator, presents a huge kind of regulatory uncertainty problem because you're not totally sure which law to follow. You're not going to get any additional clarity from the Trump administration. But here's the other dirty little secret about Title IX, which is a frustration to virtually everybody involved. Just about every single FBS institution right now could be found out of compliance with Title IX, at least on some level, whether that is in how they distribute scholarships, how they distribute promotions or promotional aid, how they distribute secondary support structures. But there's no like Office of Title IX federal cops from the federal government that come in there. You get investigated after somebody sues. And that process takes almost as long as the NCAA infractions process. So what most schools are doing is essentially thinking, all right, speed limit 70. I'm going 77. Flow of traffic is 80. They're not going to pull us all over. So as long as I'm not the one Lambo going 120, I'm probably going to be okay. And I imagine that thinking is going to continue. The cynical thought is, if you're a school administrator or school president and you're trying to figure out how to comply with Title IX, you might think, I'm going to get sued no matter what. I'm going to err on the side of giving money, the more money to my football team, so my football team is more likely to be good, because I might get fired before the lawsuit gets resolved anyway. I'm not expecting massive redistribution of house scholarship money, or house revenue sharing money, rather, to women's softball and volleyball, despite what the Biden DOE said.
Well, I think also wouldn't it be hard because the NIL money itself is not regulated. I mean, it is impossible to find out how much money is really going out to said player or for said team, et cetera, et cetera. So
yeah.
Now I know with the house, you know, that's a set money you do have to give with that. It's that with the house ruling. But I'm curious even then to see, take out the Title IX stuff. I'm curious to see how much reporting they will do. Are they obligated to do that? I mean, they will be obligated. Okay.
Yeah. So the way, again, and we're also speaking in hypotheticals because the house settlement won't be approved or finalized until April. And there's a legitimate chance it could be denied or postponed. Lots of people are legally objecting to it. But the way that the structure is currently set up is that if an athlete makes over $600 from any outside NIL deal, they have to report it to not only the school, but to a third-party clearinghouse that will determine whether that deal lines up with what fair market value. Deloitte, the gigantic consulting company, is checking this. And the clearinghouse is not run by the NCAA. It's going to be run by third-party administrators appointed by federal court, meaning that they're going to have more legal power than NCAA administrators. And what they're trying to do, the courts and the clearinghouse, is to make sure that no brand is paying like a left tackle $300,000 to sign six autographs, which has, of course, been the case with NIL for the last couple of years, that it's under the guise of charity work or promotional work, but everybody knows that it's a back-end way of paying a salary for talent acquisition or talent retention. The major conferences and the NCAA and the plaintiff's attorneys are hoping that this ecosystem functions basically like a CBA and reins in some of the outside money that people are using to circumvent the cap. How enforceable that is, whether anybody sues against it, great questions. If I knew the answer, I would not be in the newsletter business.
Exactly. And I think that's again, it adds to it's yet another piece here. And I still go back to the very beginning, the NCAA not putting some guardrails on this. And to your point, not even regulating Title IX sports overall, just as you said, that it's not equal. Many of the other women's sports, they will do partial scholarships.
Sure.
I think you get full scholarship for volleyball, for basketball, and it may stop there.
Yeah, and this new world that we're moving towards now, there's no more scholarship limits. They're just roster limits, and universities can decide whether they want to offer full or partial. The limit is just the number of people on the roster, and everyone else is going to have to figure out that math. I understand the frustration with the NCAA not putting in guardrails. The unfortunate problem for everybody is because the NCAA did not make more conciliatory moves 15 years ago. There's basically no guardrails that could be established that would pass legal muster. Everything else is almost assuredly an antitrust violation. And even the limited guardrails that they've tried to establish since 2020, since the opening up of NIL, a lot of those have lost in court. So if you want to have those now, you either need antitrust exemption, which they have not been able to get in Congress so far. Maybe they will now because Republicans control everything. Or you have to collectively bargain. And that requires employees and requires a union. And we're not really that close to either of those things happening right now.
Yeah, yeah. It's unbelievable. I want to get another topic in before we let you go. Talk with Matt Brown. Once again, extrapointsmb.com is one of our favorite guys who just thinks in ways that we're not capable of. And so we love having him on because he's a little smarter than we are, which is awesome. Want to talk about this Wisconsin player who recently just said, hey, I'm not entering the portal. We're talking football now. Yeah. I'm not going to enter the portal. I'm just going to transfer. I don't want to be here anymore. So he transfers to Miami, even though he had signed a rev share deal with Wisconsin. How does that work? I mean, once again, there's another thing where the system that's in place has been bucked. And how do you force him to stay at Wisconsin when, by the way, he's supposed to be taking classes anyway, which he now allegedly is doing at Miami?
Well, one of the unanswered legal questions here is whether that initial revenue share contract is even enforceable.
Exactly.
Because it's contingent upon an NCAA settlement, which hasn't been approved yet.
Right.
I think what Darren Heitner and this Wisconsin players team are arguing here is it doesn't matter what he signed with Wisconsin, because one, there's no settlement, and two, that contract would be an NCAA violation anyway. So then it's Wisconsin that's erring by not allowing this guy to enter the portal. I don't actually know who's going to be right at this point. I don't think it's a surprise that the Big Ten Conference is pushing back so hard on this. In my informed opinion, I think some of that is personal. There's a lot of schools that have it out for Miami right now based on how they perceive Miami's staff has tampered or has been way more aggressive in this world. I understand that it's frustrating for a lot of football fans to realize there's way more judges involved in the sport right now than there were two or three years ago, rather than conference commissioners or athletic directors. But that's the world that we live in right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I would ask you how you think it's going to play out, but I think I know you've already said you have no idea. None of us know where this is going in the next 3 months, 6 months, 2 years.
Yeah. My guess, and this is only a guess because I'm a sports writer, I did not actually pass the bar. I think the law probably favors the Wisconsin football players' case a little bit more. But there's so much other pending litigation and possibilities for a settlement that we don't know if this actually goes to trial or not.
Yeah. Yeah. It is just, and by the time it does, his eligibility will be up anyway. So
that's America, right. Baby. We love it.
Exactly. That's the way our system goes. Want to get your thoughts. One final thought on college football, the playoff now done. Do you think the playoff was a success in your mind?
I think it was great. I know there's a little bit of hand-wringing right now about the ratings for the championship game were down a little bit compared to last year. And the season's later in January. It's on a Monday. The NFL has a little bit more cultural, cachet this time of year. But what I love about the playoff is that I believe it gave so much more value to so many more regular season games down the stretch. There would have been no reason for America to be invested in anything that had to do with SMU or Indiana or Boise State, or for that matter, Arizona State, for the last 6 weeks of the season. Those were all very meaningful games. And I think all of those, maybe not SMU, but Boise and Arizona State acquitted themselves very well in the championship. We got teams that wouldn't have been in a four-team playoff field in the previous system make it to the championship game right now and beat a bunch of very good teams. There's definitely tweaks that can be made, and I'm sure that the powers that be will go and make those. But in terms of creating more high-quality games for fans and expanding opportunity for more teams beyond the same five or six in the Big Ten or the SEC, I think it was a smashing success. It gave us a lot of positive memories, I think. Those of us that cover the sport and just enjoy it will remember for years to come.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it made every Saturday must-see TV. And I've said that before, that we would sit and watch, planning on watching one game, we'd watch three, and we're bouncing around. Yeah. And even my wife, who doesn't like channel surfing, she stay on one game. She was somebody that'd say, well, go check the Alabama game. Well, go check the Tennessee game. Let's see what's Michigan doing or whatever. So it's great. Hey, Matt, we're running out of time. So thank you so much for your time as always. Happy New Year. Glad you're rested. Enjoy the weekend, and we'll catch up with you soon.
It was my pleasure. Thanks, friends. Appreciate it.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. Matt Brown, once again, the website is extrapointsmb.com. Go on, sign up. It's a great website to get some stories that really nobody else covers, but these are really important topics. And Matt does such a great job digging into the stuff that we all talk about around the water cooler. He helps kind of make some sense of all that, and we appreciate that. extrapointsmb.com, once again, is that website. All right, stay with us. More to come.
Greece is cheap.
But the airfare costs a fortune.
Paris?
Not much closer, and again, airfare.
What about Puerto Vallarta?
Let's face it, flying anywhere is just too expensive.
Wait, what's this? Low-cost airlines.
With one call to low-cost airlines, you'll drastically slash your travel costs. We're talking insanely low airline prices to any of your favorite destinations. Where would you like to go? London, Rome, Costa Rica, Australia?
Wow, that's cheap.
So why wait? Call now to learn how crazy cheap it is to fly anywhere in the U.S. or international. Our prices are so low, we can't publish them. The only way to get them is to call to instantly hear the most amazing best deals on airlines. Travel. It's that easy. So call now and start packing.
800-456-5371. 800-456-5371. 800-456-5371. That's 800-456-5371.
Do you know someone with a drug or alcohol problem? Get help right now. Insurance may cover everything. Stop the drug and alcohol nightmare. Are drug and alcohol problems hitting you too close to home? Get help right now. Insurance may cover everything.
877-927-3380. 877-927-3380. That's 877-927-3380.
Hey, right back here on the show. By the way, commercial break, we were talking about some of our favorite U2 lyrics and then songs. We just make up songs too. What's your great Weird Al song that you made up? Brad, do you have one?
Oh, yeah. I think I took a lot of, we used a lot of things with Eat It, you know, back in the day.
Sure.
I think
yeah.
a lot of those. So that those were good. So,
yeah. And I just like to make fun of real songs and just change their lyrics to bother. Like, you ain't worth the wax in my ears.
Love that.
Instead of salt in my tears. Yeah, and things good. Like that. The people are like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, that's the lyrics.
I've been doing it for years. Suit and tie,
you know,
becomes
the
mac
best
and cheese.
Best part is, you know, you go back, you know, they went back and yeah. listened to it again just to make sure they had the right lyrics.
That's right.
The best part.
That's right. I've got mac and cheese. I made up one Al instead of Wow, Post Malone. Yeah. Yeah. Mama said, go eat your peas, hold my beer while I got to go pee. Are those people looking at me? Kick them right in the, make them say, Al, there you go. All right. Hey, we're talking college basketball. Let's get back
got
on track.
A whole lyric there.
And yeah. I tell you, don't get me started. It's pretty crazy. Listen, what's crazy, how good of a coach is Rick Pitino? This guy, everywhere he goes, he makes, St. John's hasn't been relevant in 2 decades, but he's got them sitting atop one of the best conferences in college basketball in the Big East.
Well, you know, when it comes to coaching basketball, I don't know that I would pick anybody over him. Like, I mean, if I just have to play right now, not, you know, not longevity or anything
one
like
game.
That, but one game, I think I might pick him, even though Danny Hurley is the best friggin' coach in the sport. I do believe that I would take Pitino. So, no, but he's a great coach. He's got a great record. He's turned programs around as well. And he's done it again here with St. John's. I don't know how long he's going to be there, but, man, he's done a great job.
Yeah, Pitino's the best in, you know, if you don't judge for age, Pitino's the best coach going. And one wonders what would have happened and what kind of dynasty he would have built had he stayed at Kentucky instead of going to the Celtics. I think we may have seen an unbelievable run.
Oh, I think you'd see. I mean, how many titles they won? What, 2 titles after he left? 98 the first year with Tubby, and then 2012 with Calipari. I mean, I think they win three or four titles more.
Agreed.
I really believe that. I think it is unbelievable how good he is everywhere he goes. And that's the difference between him and the next guy I want to talk about is John Calipari, that Rick Pitino actually went to a smaller school, put his ego aside, went overseas and coached, went to a smaller school, built him up. Now he's back at St. John's. I don't see John Calipari doing that. And he's 0-4 in the SEC. He may be 0-8 when they go to Kentucky next weekend on February 1st when he returns to Rupp. I don't know if there's a bigger catastrophe in college basketball this year than Arkansas basketball in John Calipari's first year.
It's atrocious. I mean, they are not only are they're bad. I mean, they're 11-7, whatever, 11-8, whatever, 0-6, whatever they might be. But the thing is, they don't even look like they're not really competitive half the time. They don't look like they are know what they're doing. They look out of sorts. It's a mess. And you know, we're going to get, you know, the injury, Boogie Fland injury is going to be the reason, but they lost a lot of games long before he got injured and they really don't have many quality wins. So yeah, I just don't know if the way to do it is the way that Cal does it anymore. I just don't think. Now, maybe the thought is that it'll change down the road when they get away from the COVID years and stuff like that. But now we got an NAIA and JUCO years. So we'll still have 24-year-olds.
Well, Rocky said in Rocky IV, if you can change and I can change, we all can change.
We all can change.
I do really think that Calipari is just a guy who is, I just think he's kind of lived past his era. no doubt at one time he was a pretty good coach, and now the game has passed him by. It's happened to tons of coaches, and it's really unfortunate when they don't recognize it themselves and step aside, where they have to have somebody else step them aside.
I'm going to say this about Calipari. You know, met him back in 2001 at the Magic Johnson Hall of Fame in Springfield, Mass. Talked to him several times. He was at Memphis at the time. Talked to him here a couple of years ago as part of a telethon to raise money for Eastern Kentucky flood victims. He was a different guy. He's not the guy he was when he was at Memphis when he first got to Kentucky. He's not the same guy. He's not the same coach. I'm going to leave it at that. I hope that he just this year just says, I don't have any more. I retire and just ride off into the sunset. I don't see the situation getting better there. And I don't see him leaving his tenure at Arkansas on good terms. Want to get into Gonzaga here before the top of the hour. Guys, they lost back-to-back conference games for the first time like in a decade. I mean, is this a program that's slipping? Usually they run through that conference.
I don't know that they're slipping as much as other teams are rising. I think that there's more parity because of the portal. Why would a guy sit when you can go play? And then you can always come back if you want to go there. So you're going to get, but these teams are going to take these kids that were on the second string at the elite. We've seen this in football too. That's why there's maybe a little more parity outside of, you know, from teams like, you know, Alabama, Georgia, their second string guys are leaving. They get injuries. Same thing's happening in basketball. So those guys are going somewhere, they're playing and they're competing. Now, I don't think Gonzaga is a great team this year. I think they're solid, but I don't think they're like they have been. But at the same time, yeah, I think other teams are catching up. Good thing they're not in a high major conference. They might be in trouble.
Yeah, the NIL money coupled with instantaneous eligibility from the portal, it means that there's going to be a spread of talent and it's going to be parity across the sport.
Well, not the only team in the West Coast Conference, right, that's sending kids to the NBA. Santa Clara, St. Mary's, other schools. So they're not the only game in town, if you will. All right, top of the hour. We'll pay some bills and we'll keep talking. Keep it here.